Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Roll'em Cast with us over here at Roll'em If You Got 'em. Carl, as always, joined with Dakota.
Hello everybody.
This episode, we are going to just kind of talk about our experience with the 40k Horde mode that has been kind of going around. It was created, written, developed, whatever you want to call it, by the Poor Hammer podcast, guys. We've gotten a handful of games in with it. It's been a couple of months since we've played these games, but we wanted to just kind of sit down and talk about our experience with it, likes, dislikes, things that if you haven't played it yet, might be good to know before playing it, or if you have played it, in maybe you felt some of these things also, but we'll get into those. Let's preface this here with we've played three different point costing games. So the ones that they have outlined are like 1,000 points and 2,000 points. I don't think they have. That's pretty much all they had, right? It was just those two.
Yeah, it basically balanced between 1,000 to 2,000 points.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty much it.
So we started with some 1,000 point games. We got to get in a couple of 2,000 point games, and then I do think we found a Goldilocks zone at like a 1,500 point game with like three spawns for the enemies and stuff. But yeah, we'll get into some of that. What were some of the things that we liked most about this, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I really liked about Horde mode, obviously I've played more like competitively per se, you know, where you're trying to just like optimize stuff and play. It was nice for learning your stuff because you could be like, oh, hey, I'm going to throw my army of whatever I'm playing, Space Marines. You could throw it out there, or at least part of it out there. And then you kind of just get like reps on using the same weapons over and over, just to like kind of get you that muscle memory for learning your stuff. So, you know, and it's pretty straightforward. With the Horde mode, obviously, they have like some rules set up for it to being like an AI, if you're not aware of it. And essentially, like, you just do like specific, like the Horde army can just only do a few things. So like, you don't have to like think about what they're doing tactically. It's more like they're going to do this when they activate. And then you just kind of do like whatever you want to do, you know, as far as like the mission and everything goes that you're playing.
Right. They're more of an artificially unintelligence.
Yeah. So like, it was just really nice. Like really nice, I thought, you know, for learning your stuff, just to kind of get like those reps in about playing stuff and even like positioning it a little bit. And, you know, like that. I mean, I think we played about six games total, I think. if you run the same army for six games, or like the same types of units, you're just going to remember their kind of, you know, weapons and all that type of stuff.
Right. Like, especially if, you know, if you play a 2,000 point game, means each player is bringing 1,000 points.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So if you're only bringing 1,000 points out of what you would normally have as like a 2,000 point list, it lets you just kind of focus on like a mini list.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, oh, like this is the core of my 2,000 point list. Let me bring them. And then like, I'm just going to get real comfortable with these guys. It's nice. Mm-hmm. I think this would be a pretty beginner friendly way of going about teaching someone the game. Even
mm-hmm, yeah.
If you are well versed enough to take care of all of the needs of the Horde kind of yourself.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which I know we kind of would split those up, just whoever wasn't busy, basically.
Right.
Someone's like, well, I only have one thing to shoot. And then someone else is like, well, I got six things to shoot. And it's like, okay, well, I'll take care of Horde stuff this round and those kinds of things.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, I know you played fewer games than I played, but it was even, you know, you get your stuff out there in like the one Death Guard game. And then you're just like, okay, I'm just rolling and looking at my Death Guard, you know, units and that type of stuff. Even two for like my Space Marines, because I didn't have too many games of Space Marines, and you know, just trying like out different units and that type of stuff. It was
right,
fun.
Yeah. It was nice. It let me just kind of break things down to bite size. Now we did play against Tyranids every game. That wasn't the every game we played, it was just the two of us. We had plans to have a third for the 2,000 point games because we played those in person, and we were going to play those against either Tyranids or Death Guard or whatever, but our third ended up not being able to make it, so we just kind of pivoted last minute and then just went against Tyranids, but it was okay. Yeah. And then it was also nice for learning some of the things that the Tyranids were going to be doing. You know, we with rolling random enemies for the Horde, it kind of allowed you to see a lot of data slates that, like, I'd never really even looked at before. You know, because they were missing keywords or whatever for any Tyranid list that I had built. So there were units that I flat out just skipped over without really looking at their data slate. So this was kind of nice for that also.
Yeah, no, it was really interesting for that, because you're just like, okay, I know these units are supposed to, you know, the quote unquote like units people are playing. Then you get them out there and it's just like, okay, like I see what makes this unit good or bad or whatever. Because you're not really thinking about points. You're just more like rolling it and you're like, that unit's spawning. Which we rolled differently. Carl, you could probably explain how we rolled to like generate the Horde army, because we didn't just do it. Normally they have it set up, you just roll 2d6 and it puts you in a bracket and then you pick from that bracket. But we didn't really necessarily want to just like pick the units out of that bracket because we were playing on TTS. So we had a little bit more flexibility of just what we were spawning.
Sure. Yeah, we just rolled everything. Like we would roll the bracket with our 2d6, and then if there was 20 or less, we would roll, you know, a d20, a d12, you know, whatever, d8 if there's only 8 or less, whatever. If there was more than 20, we would roll a d6 for a high low. You're like, oh, it's low. All right, roll the D20 and just start top left, count your way down, and then move to the next column. If it was high, we would start bottom right, count your way up on the D20, and then over to the middle column, count your way up again. So our spawns were truly random. We didn't pick our opponents. We rolled everything. It leaned into kind of a chaotic, fun way of doing it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But at the same time, we didn't spawn a lot of the swarmy kind of Tyranid stuff that you would expect out of, air quotes here, Horde mode. We kind of spawned some like their bigger solo stuff, which is fine. But at no point did we have, like, you know, 40 Termagants and Gargoyles and Hormagants, like, just literal hordes of enemies. We'd get some occasionally. So that, knowing what we know now, like, if we played again, we might make a rule that's like, hey, if there's a 20-man of a unit in whatever bracket we roll and we don't have one of those on the table, like we do that first.
Yeah.
That way we really get that swarming horde of endless bugs.
Yeah. That sorry. That's definitely what came up like for the Tyranids. Like we'd roll, like I know in a couple of the games, it just seemed like we were always rolling in their top bracket and then we'd roll like a big monster, which is fine when they're, you know, like the big monsters are fine. It just, I think when we talk about like the game specifically, you'll see like the game balance wise, like it just got skewed because it was more like, oh, they just spawned one monster, and then it's like, okay, well that's the one thing I have to deal with. It's not like they had like four units that came on the board that we couldn't necessarily deal with, and then like two more units coming on that kind of backed them up, and where it's just like, oh, there's just too much, like we're just too overwhelmed. I don't think we ever really had that type of experience.
Yeah. So it would kind of been, you know, like, so the way that the tables go, if you roll two on 2d6, there's no spawn for that zone. There's a deployment zone for the enemies for every 500 points that you're bringing to the table between you and your partner. So if you're playing 2,000 point game, they have 4 deployment zones, and each one of them will have a spawn each round. So it goes, you know, 3-4. Pretty simple stuff. 2 Ripper Swarms, 2 Pyrovores, 1 Neurolictor, whatever. 5-6, you start to get into some of the more spammy stuff. 10 Barbagants, 20 Hormagants, 22 Neurogants. 7 through 9, you start to see more of the big stuff. 6 Zonthropes, 3 Biovores, a Nero Tyrant, and 3 Tyrant Guard. These are examples. Obviously, there's lots of options in each table, 20 or so probably. And then there's the 10 plus, Norn Assimilator, Norn Emissary, Swarm Lord, and some Tyrant Guard, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I know there was a couple of games where we had like back-to-back Norn Assimilary spawn. Now, in the 1,000-point game, it was like it took everything we had to deal with one, and then another one spawns, and we're like, oh, yeah, we're – no. Like,
no. Yeah, it's just like
– we just don't have it.
The second one just, like, spawned, and then – because in getting into, like, the 1K game a little bit, I played Space Marines. You were playing Knights.
Mm-hmm.
And the – whatever we spawned two of the same thing right in a row. We dealt with the first one, which took a lot, and then the second one came out, and it just came out and, like, dunked on your one knight that you had.
Yeah, yeah. I only had one knight. I had a knight warden, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember which one it was specifically, but... And we'll caveat, knights aren't great for this game mode.
They're not, just
because, like, how points work out.
One thing that was nice is that I had such limited options, it allowed me more freedom to kind of pilot the horde and do a lot of their stuff, which from a time management standpoint was probably super useful. Only having 1 to 3 units really to worry about.
Yeah.
But
And the thing too, with, like, you know, even like the rolling, I felt like in a lot of the games, it was just like all high rolling, not even low rolling, where there wasn't like, oh yeah, just like this small thing coming.
Yeah, on. I mean, what if instead of a spawn out of bracket 4, you took a spawn out of bracket 1 and a spawn out of bracket 3, or two spawns out of bracket 2, you know, which if we apply our, which we just kind of made up, the if there's not a horde, a, you know, especially out of the 4 core Tyranid units, Tyrogonts, Neurogonts, Barbagants, no, not Barbagants, Gargoyles, Hormagants, Neurogonts, and Termagants. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If there's not one of those and you roll something out of that bracket, you grab that.
Yeah.
So if we would have said, hey, on a 10 plus bracket 4, let's grab something out of bracket 1 and something out of bracket 3, it would have looked more like, instead of a Norn Assimilator, it would have been like 10 Hormagants and a Nero Tyrant with 22 Neurogants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, oh, we're putting 33 models on the table instead of one. Like,
right, yeah.
So, when we play again, I think we will lean into like the, let's spam units against us.
The spam the units, and then more, I wouldn't say more like smart rolling, but just being like, okay, this is what we got, like this is how we should play it out.
Right.
If
a Tyranid invasion was happening, would they literally just send their big, no, they would send tons of little stuff and then a little bit of big things to support the little guys, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even okay, so before we kind of get into like the games too, kind of the last couple things, last thing is, I know that when we played too, we just continually messed up. They have this system of misery cards, which essentially makes it harder for you. We like continually just messed it up or forgot about it or whatever, because there's kind of a lot of moving parts in this.
Yeah.
Like for the horde, because you know it's like once you get to round 3, the horde gets like.
They get a bonus to their rolls. They start adding points.
We continually added that, but they also get like don't they get like lethal, like there's some for like lethal hits or sustained hits and like stuff like that. And we just forgot about it because it's like, well, I don't play Tyranids anyways. I'm just going to roll the attack off their thing and then forget like, oh shit, that should have lethal hits on it.
Yep.
And we forgot about it. So like,
which was, that was kind of, and then not just the misery cards, but I know one time on TTS, we messed up like our secret objectives.
Yeah.
Because I had the one that basically said like blow up a bunch of buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And Dakota kind of did something odd one turn and just like went out of his way to blow up a building. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Because the way we were doing on TTS is we took a normal deck of cards and we said, all right, ace through 10 red is 1 through 10, ace through 10 black is 11 through 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then we dealt out the cards and we're referencing the sheet and what I don't know where the fault landed, but we both ended up with the same card, which
yeah, we both basically had the same mission, which we didn't want.
In real life would have been possible because you have a physical card that someone's holding. So like we screwed that up. And so which in real life I printed out the cards and had those ready. And so that was super nice to have a legitimate physical card. I know I've looked into putting cards into TTS before only briefly and was like, nope, this is not something I want to take the time to learn for whatever minuscule thing I was doing. But if that were to happen for this Horde mode, if they just had a one of them little workshop things on Tabletop Sim just to get the deck of cards, the three different deck of cards, it'd be absolutely dope.
So that was one of our basically
I guess you could say there's a decent amount of like bookkeeping to go with this game mode. I think if you played it enough you would eventually stop forgetting these little things. But yeah, something that definitely needs to be noted is like going into it, be prepared that you got some paperwork to track kind of throughout and try to find something to make sure you remember that.
Yeah.
Like if you had a laminated sheet with a dry erase marker and literally went line by line after each round or whatever, like, okay, yep, we did this, we did that, we did our secondary objectives, that would that'd be super useful.
Yep. All right, so kind of gonna give, we'll kind of get into now like the games we played. I think so we played about six. Played 1K, 1500, and 2K. I'm just gonna kind of give you like our overview of the games in general.
We played a couple of 1Ks first, then we played a couple of 2Ks, and then we're like, let's try 15 because we had some complaints, maybe too strong of a word, about 1K and 2K, but we were like, I think 15 might be our Goldilocks zone here. The 1K we kind of already talked about.
Yeah, that was our first games too. Like our very first game we played.
We 1K. Had 500 points each. I had a knight, probably not a great idea. We ended up getting double Norn Assimilator or Emissary or one and then the other. I don't know, but it was.
Yeah, I was playing. I played Space Marines in those and I brought like balanced, but it's not like I was brought like, you know, completely like perfectly balanced. And then it was just like, oh, I don't have a weapon profile to deal with this stuff.
Now, I would absolutely recommend, though, your first time playing this, play 1000 points.
Yeah,
because you're going to get lost in the sauce of the secondary missions and the secret missions and spawning the enemies. Play 1000 points. That way you only have two spawns. You won't be drinking out of as big of a fire hose.
Yeah. And just be prepared. They'll probably end up being like a huge power spike and like the Horde army that comes out. Just be prepared for that. Like you'll lose some stuff and then they'll have some stuff come out and you're like, oh shit. I can't
deal with that. Retreat. Everybody retreat. Get back to the table edge, run off the edge, fall on the floor. It doesn't matter.
Get the hell out of here. Then we played some 2K games. They didn't feel too bad. What faction? These are the ones we played in person.
Yes.
I ran my Space Marines, you ran Death Guard. We pretty much both at 1,000 points, you know, you have a pretty sizable force where you're bringing, and at this point we knew, like, bring balanced of, like, various weapon profiles, because, like, you don't know what you're going to get. And I would say it felt good, but we kind of felt like our armies were OP for how we were rolling. Mm-hmm. Like, we were almost just like, we could just deal with the waves as they came and, like, how we were able to, like, position and do stuff. So it was never like a, oh man, like, we're going to get overwhelmed here. It was just like, yeah, we dealt with it. On to the next thing.
Yep. It was, we had four spawn zones, and it did a good job of kind of dealing with things as they spawned, and mm-hmm. knowing, yeah, like, all right, something else is going to spawn there next round, but, like, it's okay. Not a big deal. We'll take care of these.
Yeah, the 2K, I'd say, it just felt like they didn't spawn enough things. Like, we'd spawn four things. We could each basically deal with, like, two of them, or, like, you could deal with one, and I could deal with three. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of went back and forth like that, and we were just never, like, super overwhelmed.
No.
Kind of, like, if we played 2K again, it'd basically be, like, a play until we die, and, like, see how many rounds we can go.
Yeah, 2K might be the home for that, see how many rounds you can get. Like, this game might last a while. Yeah. I also wonder, because I know at one point it was, like, three pyrovores spawned, and then next round it was like three biovores. And it's like, okay, these are okay support units, but, like, as being the enemy's main spawns, like, these shouldn't be the main spawns.
Yeah, that, so, I think that it's almost like that's where our how we rolled, like, failed us. But at the same time,
yeah,
we were just trying to not pick what we were playing.
I'm looking forward to playing again and adding in, like, that, hey, if we don't have a swarm option on the table, put a swarm option on the table.
Yeah.
Because I think that, A, it would look cooler, and then I think it would be much more troublesome than someone that's like, oh, I'm going to shoot a spore mine to the other corner of the table. And it's like, I'm not afraid of that.
Yeah, like, you don't even like the biovores, they shoot the spore mines, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, that ability is just useless in this.
Yeah, but it's just a biovore, I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Now, if you got someone back there shooting those, and I'm also dealing with a unit of Termagants and a unit of Gargoyles, okay, well, now that is a problem, because I can't deal with all of these.
Yeah. And then kind of after we hit, like, 1K, and then we jumped it up to 2K, and then we kind of rolled it back to 1500, played against it still. I know in one game I played my AdMech, you played Knights in both games, and I know I'm pretty sure I played Space Marines in one of them too. I think we kind of both agreed this is where it felt the most balanced, because we couldn't bring as much stuff as we'd want to deal with everything. And then, like, the opponent's spawns were still, like, fairly high where, you know.
Right. The opponent was hitting three spawns.
Uh-huh.
So they were putting enemies on the table. You had some stuff to deal with things, and some stuff wasn't so good at dealing with things, but that was just kind of part of trying to build a balanced list. And I think the 1500 was the Goldilocks zone. Now, maybe if we had a third player, because the more players you have, the more opportunities you have to, like, earn RP.
Mm-hmm.
What does RP stand for again?
Like, reinforcement points. Yeah.
So you kind of get these secondary objectives. They can earn you reinforcement points. You spend the reinforcement points to do things. You can upgrade units. I think I turned, like, a single Biologist Purifier into, like, a defiler or something at one
point. Yeah.
It was like, oh, I don't think I should have been allowed to do that. I mean, it costs a lot of RP, but anyhow, the more players you have, the more RP you're going to earn. So then maybe going 2,000 points is okay. Like, maybe you should aim for having one more spawn than you have players.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So whatever that number is, if you have four players, then you go 2,500 points and put out five spawns. I don't know. Mm-hmm. If we had four players, I think we'd be like, hey, you're going to play the AI and play them a little more dynamically than run forward, shoot, charge.
Yeah.
Running a straight line down the field.
Yeah. But at two players, I thought like 15 felt pretty good. We didn't have, like, there was enough horde to make it overwhelming, yet it wasn't unmanageable for both players. And then you had enough of your armies to do what you needed to do, yet you weren't like, oh yeah, I just have another unit that can step in and like do that if a unit dies.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I guess I kind of segued us into some of our final points here. Having a dedicated game manager, GM here, that would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
It would have been so cool.
Like, if we would have been able to have three players at one of them, and it was just like, oh, hey, like, you two are going to play, I'm going to play the Horde. I think it could have been, however many, that could be really fun, because you can just use that GM to be like, they might start, like, you know, they might roll, and then they could, like, just pick for you instead of having to, like, roll like we did. They could be like, okay, we're going to do this.
Right.
And then they can just get the data, you know, the data cards out in front of them, and then they know what they're doing. And then it's just kind of like them playing against all three.
Like,
where they don't have to be tactical, but
like, no, they could look at the state of the battlefield and be like, all right, what would hurt them the most right now?
Yeah.
What do they not want on the table?
Exactly.
Out they of could, this category.
Mm-hmm. And it even helped too, just to have that actual person that you, like, that extra person just to, like, roll against. So like, you're rolling your attacks and your saves and stuff. There'd be a lot of times where you'd be playing, like, you'd be doing your half the board, I'd be doing my half the board, and I'd like be like, okay, I'm attacking this thing. I'd roll my attacks, I'd roll my wounds, and then I just roll the Tyranid saves, you know, where it's just like, okay, I just, you know, did my thing, like, actually, like, kind of rolling against somebody else.
Right, right.
Without having to, like, slow down the other player from
doing their shit. Sure, sure. So, for sure, that would be, you know, I guess they're just trying to say, like, we need more friends. That's,
yeah.
Which is, that's probably a common issue in the Warhammer community. You need more friends.
Kind of the next thing that you'd almost need, it's like the weapon. So, like, the weapon loadouts and stuff like that. A lot of the, how they have it set up, they don't really specify loadouts, because you're supposed to just use your collections. But we would mess up sometimes, and you'd just be, since we don't know the units as well, we'd just be like, oh yeah, these are the weapons I have. And then you'd roll them and you'd be like, oh shit, they only had one of those.
Right.
You're like, well, there's a gun option and a shooty option. I guess this is the gun option.
Yeah. Yeah. That we would do that for sure. We'd be like, what weapons this person have, or what's their melee or whatever. And then you'd go back and look, and it's like, well, since they shot already, I guess they have this loadout. It probably would have been more damning to us had they had loadout, you know, B or C or whatever.
Yeah.
But we accidentally just, so that would be, I think, cool to kind of do before playing. Be like, hey, if we roll, you know, I'm trying to think of maybe like the guard. What's the Tyranid guard unit?
Tyrant Guard,
yeah. Like, I think Tyrant Guard have weapon loadout options. Be like, all right, if we roll a Tyrant Guard, we choose this loadout the first time. If we put them on the table again, we choose this loadout. Or just pick the best one. Be like, what's their best loadout? Yeah. All right, let's just say any Tyrant Guard we roll, this is what they're going to have. Yeah. And then you take that, you write it on a sticky note, and you smack it on the data slate. And then if Tyrant Guard gets loaded up, when you grab that data slate, it's got the sticky note on it, so you don't forget, hey, they have weapons, you know, A, and here we go. That's another thing that having a GM would have, you know, probably been
super they'd just easy be like,
for them to be like, okay. And then they could even be like, all right, what weapon set do the players not want to see right now?
Yeah.
Do they need some melee in their face? Do they need a ranged option? I mean, you're just trying to feed them a shit sandwich.
And then kind of another thing that I thought of that needed, so say you're running two players, it always almost seemed like, I wouldn't say clunky rolling it out as we played, but if it was like me and Carl are going to line up and play this again, I think, like, say we're like, oh, hey, on Friday, we're going to play, like, a week beforehand, one of us, should just go in and like pre-roll all the spawns so that we'd have them. But you could also like organize them in a way that would be like, you know, not manageable, but it would just like make sense. So instead of like round one being like, oh, we're getting those high rolls round one, like, okay, maybe we do pre-do some of the swarmy stuff at the beginning of the game, tougher stuff end of the game, mix in tougher stuff in the middle as well. So you can almost like organize it to just like, I don't say play thematically, but just like play in a way that made sense with what was, you know, kind of how the game was.
The only thing that the only variable you wouldn't be able to know beforehand is like if you do end up with misery cards and things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you had a predetermined, you know, six of them, let's say you pick six of them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Versus the, what is it? There's 21 in Tyranids for the 7 to 9, which is going to be a pretty commonly rolled one.
Mm-hmm.
There's 21 in there. Well, if you just said, hey, we're going to look at these 10 and they're going to have these loadouts if we get these 10. Like, I do think that if you almost filtered the spawns, I think is a good way to phrase it.
Yeah.
If you pre-filtered the spawns and be like, this is kind of the battle we want to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Which, I mean,
even too, like, if you like fully like pre-rolled, you could even just be like, I need 24 or how many are like, so there's 4 or 5 rounds. You need 20. And then you could throw in like an extra 5 spawns and be like, these are what I rolled. And you could just organize them up in a way and make it make sense.
Right. Right.
And then like, if you did that a week beforehand, you could almost like, I'm not gonna say forget by the time you played the game, but.
Oh, that's a good point. That is a good point. You may, yeah.
That way you're not just like.
That way you're not playing too gamey. Because there's times where like you can't help it, right? You're like, hey, don't within X amount of distance because when they spawn, they're going to charge you. And we want them to just charge my melee unit. You know, we want them to charge my Death Shroud Terminators.
We want them to charge, or that, or like, oh, just have them charge my tank because they won't kill it anyways.
Right, like, right. So we would kind of game the game by being like, all right, well, I'll go closer, or you stay further, so that we kind of know who they're going to charge.
Yeah, because you could do that in a way too. Like, oh, there's the 4 spawns. Like, these are what's spawning. Do I know where they're spawning? No,
that's true.
You could do it in a way that makes sense. And I think it helped play quicker too.
Yeah, like, that's for sure. For sure, because that's so we have the battle report, which if you're watching this on YouTube, it's kind of in the background here, but we're not really talking about it because it ended up being like 4 hours long.
Yeah.
And I was a couple hours into trying to edit it and figure it out. And I was only like 30 minutes of actual gameplay in. And I was like, this thing is going to have 6 hours into editing by the time I get there at least. And it's not, next time we do a battle report, we're just going to record it as we're doing it and be done with it and not try to do post editing stuff to that extent later. And we were attempting to voice over it, whatever. But yeah, the time, it does take a while because you're kind of, you know, you're each piloting your own army and then you're each kind of trying to, all right, what would the Horde do here? What are they going to spawn? And then you go start doing that stuff. And then it's like, well, what weapons do they have? And you're like, I don't know. I guess they have this. Mm-hmm. Maybe we've already used 2 different weapons loadouts at this point. It is a little bit longer. And that we're also learning the new game mode. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm sure it was starting to play faster in games 5 and 6 than it was in games 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm. Like,
but that's normal.
Yeah.
Overall, it is a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most, I mean, it's the most fun way I've seen of playing Warhammer, just because it's relaxing. I'm not as invested into this because there's a part of me that does want to watch the Horde have 100+ models on the board and literally just run over top of our units and eat us all. And like, that's fun.
Yeah.
Like, we're having fun. Yay.
Yeah. Overall, it was a blast. Even like in the ones we were learning, it was just like, you know, you're going out and doing your thing, but it was just really fun because you could just sit, have a beer, hang out, and, you know, kind of play your game.
Yeah. Yep. And then
almost felt like, I wouldn't say like board gamey esque, but it almost felt like board game in a way.
Yeah, a little more board gamey for sure. And I was less concerned about, okay, I got to make sure I use this stratagem at this time. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I forgot my stratagem. I don't care.
Or it's like, oh, I don't even have any CP anyways. So, yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it turned out more times than not.
And then you have the secret missions where, you know, you might be looking for accidental ways to like leave your teammate hung out to dry, which I don't think we had any of those.
We didn't really, but I think I
had one time, but I traded it in because it was,
yeah, we kind of avoided it. Not, it's just like tough. Like, honestly, that's,
had three players, I would have definitely been more on par with doing the like, hey, one of the players' commanders needs to die.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like, you know.
And I think even too, with more players, like that stuff could just happen organically where you're like, hey, right, somebody's got to go do this. And then their commander goes and does it. And you're like, cool.
Yeah, for sure. Any other final thoughts here?
No, I mean, I think we pretty much covered it. Like we said, this is Horde Mode is made up by the guys over at Poorhammer. They also do like a podcast and some YouTube videos. They're pretty fun. We listen to them. Check them out. They're pretty casual as far as 40K goes, which is another good listen. But this is really fun. Check it out if you have it. If you're, you know, 40K curious and maybe you started up an army and, you know, you want to get a game in, you could play, in theory, play this by yourself because you don't have to really have an opponent.
I almost did. You could just
kind of, you know, have fun with it. You know, it's just getting your models out there that you have.
I almost played this solo once.
Yeah. I've thought about playing it solo too, just to get them out there, but usually painting or doing something else.
Yep. If you guys let us know, if you want to see a battle report on this sometime, we could certainly get one out there. And, you know, especially like thematic battles would just be so cool.
Yeah.
You know, if you know, maybe take two chaos and then Horde Space Marines, mm-hmm. like super fun, super fun. But, yeah, that's all I got.
Yep. Yeah. I don't have anything else. You know, thanks for joining us today. Listening and checking us out on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, remember, like and subscribe. They go a long way. If you're on, listen to us on a podcast, check out our YouTube channel and also like and subscribe.
Yes. Yeah. If you can just run over there, drop a like, a subscribe, a comment, whatever, we greatly, greatly appreciate those.
Mm-hmm.
Your comment could be like, hey, I'm from a podcast. And then that's it. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thanks, bro.
Yep.
All right. Well, until next time, bye.
Bye.